Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I want to help you tonight. Might get a little pointed tonight. I'm not planning to preach mean, but the topic is going to be a bit pointed this evening. And if you'll give me a hearing, I think I can help us all. The book of Proverbs is one of those books of the Bible you just need a lot of. It's a book of wisdom. Several years ago, oh my soul, probably 8-9 years ago, I went through the Bible to count how many verses I had memorized. And in the period of about 6 or 8 weeks, I went through the whole Bible. And just the book of Proverbs alone, I have memorized over 700 verses. About 3/4 of the book of Proverbs, I can just stand here and quote, literally. And it's not because I'm such a great person. I need wisdom, so I'm in it a lot. I've read it hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times. So tonight, let me help you. Proverbs chapter 23, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. Let's read this passage responsibly. Ready? When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainties. And let's finish on verse 7. Ready? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit, please, would you allow me to help each and every person here? Lord, I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it through me. So please help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to me carefully. You hear a lot in our politics about a border wall. And you hear the opposition saying there should be no borders. We need countries with no borders. Well, that's a lie out of hell. That goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. That's everybody wanting to be one people in no difference. And God said, I'm making a difference. Here it is. You don't live without borders. You don't play games without rules and borders. Imagine playing football with no end zones, no yard markers, and no first downs. You say, what is that? We called it smear the LGBTQ in the backyard. did I do that all right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. That's when you throw the ball up, and whoever caught it, you're dead meat. All right? But we have people that you say, why would guys do that? Because it's fun to beat on each other. We live in a world that wants to break down borders. Listen to this. But there is a world in which every one of us lives that has no borders. That is the true you. That is what goes on between your ears and behind your eyeballs. That is a world that has no borders. You can do whatever you want within the confines of your own mind. The true you is the one that's on vacation when no one is watching you. Probably the most descriptive real you is probably when you're in the car by yourself driving. What did you say to that person? What did you do to that person in your own mind? Your manners. The rules you keep or the rules you break, your courtesy or lack thereof, your patience or the lack thereof, all show the real you in a 3,000-pound weapon that you can drive away speedily and nobody knows what you said or thought. The true you is the you that no one knows but you. It's you when you're by yourself. You know, we cannot talk or say whatever we want whenever we want. I learned a long time ago, you don't say certain things in front of certain people. you say the wrong thing in front of dad or mom when you're growing up, and I found out what a backhand meant. Or I found out what a bar of soap meant. Amen? I blew bubbles more than once in my life. You know, the god-awfulest soap in the world to put in a child's mouth is Zest. Oh, my soul, that little blue stuff is the nastiest tasting thing in the world. The second worst is Lava, because it's got that sand in it, you know? You say, how do you know? Experience. Yeah. You cannot do whatever you want, except in the privacy of your own mind. You can't act or react however you want, except in the privacy of your own mind. You can't hurt people like the way you want to hurt them, except in the privacy of your own mind. You can be anything you want within the privacy of your own mind. So many things I want to say. You can see anything you want to see in the privacy of your own mind. You can hear whatever you want to hear within the privacy of your own mind. You can commit any sin that you would like to commit within the privacy of your own mind. May I say this? You can dogmatically be right all the time in your own mind. You see, what would you do if there were no rules, no laws, no courts, no judges? That's the real you. That's the real you. If you had no boss. Now, listen to me tonight. Your mind is a place that only you can go to, and only you know what's in there. You might be able to take me to the outdoor of it, but there's no windows. It's soundproof. Nobody else has been there, and only you go there. Your parents don't know what's in there. Your children don't know what's in there. Your spouse does not know what's in there. Your preacher doesn't know what's in there. Nobody else knows what's in there. For some of you, it has a sign that says for rent. But your mind, sorry, you can't put a for sale sign on it because nobody would buy it. No one sees what's inside there, but it is the place where you have absolutely no boundaries. None. Man, left to his own sinful ways, is pretty bad and pretty evil. Yes. Let's face it. Not just males, I'm talking mankind, all right? Ladies too. People. Look at the Sodomites. There is nothing natural about sodomy. That's right. That's right. Nothing.
You're right.
There is nothing right about even talking about this, even in public, bothers me. Transgenderism. There is no such thing. It is not natural. It is a taught behavior by evil, vile people.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. That's right.
Preach
it. Look at Hollywood and how evil it is. Look at the music industry and how vile and wicked it is. The filth, the perversion, the drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, the rebellion, the murder, the killing. Hollywood and music is filled with it. Look at what we call entertainment these days. Folks, what happened to Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, and Tom and Jerry? Do you know that Tom and Jerry now is rated PG because of violence? And yet you can have Harry Potty Mouth, witchcraft, and evil. We can have the Marvel comic gang, which is about as evil as it comes. And we call that entertainment. But you match it up against that book right there, and it's evil.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? I love you. Told you it was going to be pointed. Look how the violence controls our nation. Look at the robbery the disrespect, the murder, and the perversion. When, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, when mamas and daddies get up on television in D.C. or any other area and say, well, my son was shot by the police, and all he did was rob the store, he shouldn't have been shot and killed for it. And I hear it every week of my life. Folks, you're stealing from another person's life. Well, he only had... Yeah, this Trayvon Martin dude out in St. Louis or out in that area in Illinois, Missouri area. He had robbed a store. He had a gun on him, and he was going after the police. And when they told him not to, he attacked the police officer in the cruiser, grabbing his gun. And yet you have people that still march all over the country, arms up, don't shoot. His arms were up because he was coming back after the police officer, who he had to fight with in his own cruiser to take his own gun away from the guy. Everybody doing okay? That's the real facts. God destroyed the world by flood because of man's mind. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you two verses that ought to startle us. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Watch this. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Huh. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Look at chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse number 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet... is this the right one? Yep. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living as I have done. Notice it's talking about the evil of man's mind. And by the way, young people are evil. Old people are evil. Middle-aged people are evil. Senior citizens are evil. Now, wait a minute. You're welcome, Brother Stoltz. God said our minds left to themselves are evil.
Yes, it's true.
We Christians even think that we have our own minds under control. But let me ask you, what do you think when you're by yourself? When nobody else is watching? What did you see in your mind all by yourself? Are you that person that says, well, it's got to be as I see it or else? Well, this is the way I think about it. It always amazes me how people want to change the Bible. Well, I don't see it that way in the Bible. Well, you're not God. I just preach it. I just believe it as it's spoken. I don't have to try to reason it out in my own mind. You really want to trust a sinful, evil, fallen mind over a holy, living, righteous God? And by the way, I'm talking about myself. I have to make a decision, as I said this morning, new creature, old creature. My mind, God's mind. I trust God's mind over my mind any day. Some of you have a weak mind, and it's too weak to go very far. It won't wander off very far, but it doesn't usually go in a good direction. Do you ever notice, they used to say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop or playground. Say why? Because when you're not thinking is when he comes in and starts working. We've made evil out to be good. I better keep going here. I could... Yeah, buddy. We're all sinners. This means we already have corrupted ourselves. We're dying. Do you ever smell dying flesh? Rotten flesh? Miss Wally, you know what I'm talking about. I was with a man one day whose both of his legs, from his knees down, were rotten. They were black. And he was not a black man. And they smelled like, and I'm sorry this is going to disturb some of you, but it smells like rotten cheese. That's the only way to describe it. And I looked at them and said, either you get him to the hospital or you're going to die because he is poison all the way up. And they had to take both of his legs off from his knees down, just above his knees. And I mean, the flesh was barely hanging on. It was just rotting. And that's not the first time I've smelled rotten flesh. About August, drive down the road and see a roadkill that's all bloated up and blown up on the side of the road, and you pass it with your window open. And everybody's going, ugh! Okay, that's rotten flesh. God says our minds are corrupt just like that. Yes. Even the best of us are evil in our minds. Yes. Let me give you a few thoughts here and we'll go home. Number one, we think that God doesn't know our thoughts. We as Christians sometimes think because nobody else hears us, God doesn't know what I'm thinking. Can I tell you something? God does. Absolutely. My Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Guess who hears the heart? God does. Guess who knows your thoughts? God does. He knows every one of them. Look at Ezekiel chapter 8. Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. I want to show you something. I'm going to use some scripture tonight. I'm having you turn because some of you ought to mark these verses. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, that's his mind. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. I don't care if the lights are on or the lights are off. God sees what you're thinking. God doesn't care if your wife's sitting beside you or your husband's sitting beside you, your children sitting on your lap. It doesn't matter. What man does in the imagery of his own heart and his own mind is we think we can get away with it. Look at the games we play. The violence. I am not here to criticize anybody. I don't play games that involve killing people. Now, I haven't played a video game in Lord knows how many years. I don't play any on my phone. I don't do, what's that little doojigger, candy something or other. That's it. I don't do any of that stuff. I have never played that one time in my whole life. All right, and say, preacher, you don't know what you're missing. Yeah, I do. I have plenty of other good things to think about other than eating candy on a machine that I can't even taste. Now, but look at the average video game. The indecent dress, the rock music, the killing, or the violence against people. One of the most popular games on the market is about Grand Theft Auto stealing cars. That's a wonderful game to let your kids play, stealing cars. I'm sorry, I didn't let my children play games that involve sinful activity. I didn't think it was right. Why develop that? The police will tell you this. The most dangerous criminals are those that have been trained killing people with video games. They're more accurate, more able to control their thinking process because they've killed hundreds of thousands of times on a machine. We know how these people go in and mass kill, pull out their video games and find out how many of them were involved in video games that were killing people. I know what I'm talking about. The devil doesn't know our thoughts. God does. Look at the music of today. Look at the Hollywood, and I'd rather you not, but the Hollywood scene of today. the even what we call the and they have, and I don't even know what these things are, but good night, the evilness of the robots and things that go on in television and different games and things. I mean, it's filthy vile. I look at it and say, that is satanic. When you line it up with Scripture, most of it is satanic. Everybody doing okay? The devil does this to get our attention so that we start thinking about these things in our own hearts and our own minds. I don't see what good it does to teach somebody to kill somebody and then send them to bed and they think all night long about killing people. Now, I like my old war movies. But I didn't let my children watch them until they turned 18. They had to be mature enough to handle it, and I know them not going to go off and go crazy. But I used it as a teaching tool with them as well. Your sinful pride causes you and me to think that that God has to see life from my point of view only. Can I tell you something? Whether you, and listen to this very carefully. I love you enough to tell you this. God doesn't have to see it the way you see it. We're supposed to see it the way He sees it. You judge God by how you view life. How about we judge life by how God sees life? I don't always understand. When I sat across the table from Miss Jenny Walters, and her 46-year-old husband's died, and she's there alone, who pastored that church, and she's got six kids, I can't tell you that I understood God. But I know this, God's good, and God knows what's going on. I know this, whether Rick died at 46 or 64, he was going to die someday, unless the rapture took place. Who am I to judge God by that? Good night. He was in the military. I could show you some. He'd been in places he should have been dead long before then. You know, we're so full of ourselves that we can't see beyond what we think or what we see. And by the way, I'm just as guilty as you are. The hardest thing I do as your pastor is not look through these eyeballs. I have to look through his. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Y'all out there with me? Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Just want to make sure. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I tell you something? Man gets pretty impressed with his own brains. We get pretty impressed. We like listening to the Bible scholars that talk about God. We're going to go into an in-depth study. We're going to exegete the scriptures. Most of you don't know what the word exegete means. Some of you think that's what you got to shovel. And that's about what it is. We're so impressed with our own minds. You don't need to turn there, but let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. I think I even used this verse this morning. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, I learned a long time ago, about the time I think I got this thing figured out, I get slapped upside the head and I'm laying flat down on my face. No doubt. I've watched guys lose. I watched a guy, we had a rule at the machine shop that I worked in. If you work around machinery, you don't wear jewelry. You don't wear necklaces, you don't wear sloppy sleeves, you wore short sleeve shirts. I worked around lathes that were spinning 3,000-4,000 RPMs. They're zinging, cutting aluminum, cutting steel and different things. And you weren't supposed to wear your wedding ring. You had to take your wedding ring off before you worked in the lathe. Now, I knew a guy, he didn't do it. I watched him reach into a machine that was still spinning, and that thing caught his ring, and it just ripped every bit of meat and flesh off his finger. Nothing but three bones sticking there. Still working, but nothing but bone. I reached down in the machine and picked up that pile of flesh, handed it to him in a bag, and said, go to the hospital. Guess what? I made sure my ring was off. It only takes once to see that. Promise you. My dad could tell you stories working in the machine industry like he did all those years. It's scary. Now, wait a minute. We get in trouble when we listen to ourselves too much. We think because we read the Bible that we know what it says. I hate to disappoint you. You don't always know it like God does. We get in trouble when we listen to those who failed and fell instead of listening to God. I love preachers. But you know, I don't listen to some of them because I've seen how they've lived their life towards the later part, and I just don't listen to them. I know men who have changed partway in their ministries. I go back and get rid of everything I ever listened to from them so that I don't, because I don't know at what point in time in their life they were turning. I don't trust it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, it just makes sense to me. Now, I don't expect everybody else to do that. But that's what I do. You say, why? Because I got to protect me. I don't read fiction. It's not sinful, some of it. But I don't read fiction because fiction's not real. It's not truth. And I have to have my mind so full of truth to help people. What good is it going to do? I do not read fiction. Now, there's nothing sinful about it, per se. There are some things that are truth that I don't read. I don't read gossip stuff, because most of that's not truth. I don't read negative things. I really don't. Why is it that God's a failure when something doesn't work out the way you want it? I can't believe God would do that. Okay, that's you challenging God in your own mind. Well, I don't understand why God did this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct thy paths. So we get into this mindset, even as Christians, even though we know God knows our thoughts, there's times you think God's not looking and you can think it anyway. Number two. We need something more, something clean, something pure, and something more powerful to influence our minds than the sin and the evil around us. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. This is a verse I believe every child of God should learn, especially younger children, teens. Psalm 119, but I think every person in that is a saved person should memorize Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You are going to cleanse your way by the word of God. What is the way? How you think. Can I tell you something? The people that think biblically think right. Those that oppose it, well, everybody has their own opinion of the Bible. I get so tired of that, I want to vomit. My Bible says the Bible is of no private interpretation. When it's an opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. Past that, I just preach it plain and true. Flop it out on the plate. There it is. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can borrow the mind of Christ when it's about truth. You're not borrowing the mind of Christ when you're playing some Street Fighter game on your video games. I don't see Jesus playing most of those games. Do you? I'm not for this charismatic, what would Jesus do and wear your WWJD bracelets. But every once in a while, you ought to look at something and say, wonder if the Lord would do that. Well, I can tell you this. If you're a child of God, you got the Holy Spirit of God inside you, and he's there seeing it. Everybody doing okay? We need to fill our mind with God's words and God's principles. And may I say this, you're not going to fill your mind with God's word and God's principles by listening to man's music, man's teachings, man's philosophies, and man's entertainment. Right. Not going to happen. Because man and God are at opposite ends. You have the flesh, the world, and the devil, and you have the Holy Spirit and God, and they don't coexist. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's why we can't fill our minds with that evil and that nasty and that sin and the negativism. I've gotten to the point where I can watch about 5 to 6 minutes of news and I'm done. That's about my limit these days. I used to watch hours at times. Follow it. I was almost a news junkie. Can I tell you something? You eat enough junk, you're going to barf. Sit down with a piece of paper and watch a 30-minute newscast and find out how much of it is about sin and evil. Out of 30 minutes, you might get 30 seconds of good and 29 minutes and 30 seconds of bad. And that's on a good night. Lead story, this many people killed in D.C. today. Lead story, this person's convicted of this perverted sin, and this person's going to jail because they've been accused of this, and this person... Good night. No wonder people are depressed all the time. Pick up a newspaper from the 1940s and the 1950s. Old Brother Joe and his wife just had another baby. This is number 17. Then they had a cow that birthed another one. The cow finally had number 18 and outdid Mrs. Joe. You all know what I'm talking about? It used to be good news. It used to be when a couple got engaged, they put the engagement announcement in the newspaper. Now nobody gets married. They just shack up like a bunch of animals and who cares? How can we expect to fill our minds with God's words if we're filling it with man's words? Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Told you I wasn't going to preach hard, but it was pretty pointed. Isaiah 55, verse number 7. I'm going to read about 3 verses here. And I'm almost done, so hang in there. Don't put your shoes on yet, though. Isaiah 55, verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can I tell you something? Man is not smarter than God. I'm going to change your opinion on something. We've allowed humanism to convince us that in Bible days everything was Stone Age. Not true. They had running water. They had running toilets. They had electricity. They had wheels. They had the use of stones and gold and steel and iron and brass. And they understood it. Those things just didn't pop out of the ground. They had to learn how to mine it. We think of cavemen. No, you've been trained that by humanism. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm about to have some fun. Your influences on your thoughts determine whether you follow God or man. You show me what you think, I'll show you who you're following. I could always tell when my kids got around the wrong crowd because their thinking changed. Guaranteed. I could always tell that they got around some kind of wrong influence because their thinking changes. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3. I got to hurry here. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That goes with Proverbs chapter 23, where it says that a man labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Too many people are concerned about how much money's on their W-2 this year, instead of trying to be the best worker they can be. I know people who live on less money than most people in this room that do real well, because they commit their work to the Lord, and God establishes their thinking. And they've learned how to plan well, and think well, and finance well with less money. I know people that make six figures that live paycheck to paycheck. I can give you a list of 15 or 20 of them. Seriously. Everybody doing okay? I love you. The eternal living words of God are more powerful than man's sinful, temporary, dying, limited ways. Folks, don't get mad at me. There's more to life than that. If that's all you live for, that's your God. I hate to tell you. Now, we all need it to live. I understand that. I don't believe in welfare. I think a man ought to earn his way. I think a man ought to be the breadwinner. I think a man ought to do everything he can to make ends meet and live within those means. Got no problem with that. I believe in working hard. I believe in paying people and paying them on time. But may I say this, if that's all you live for, you have a pretty empty life. You need to fill your life with truth. Can I tell you something? Those of you that work, you work around a bunch of heathen, they're stupid. They really are. They're dumb as a box of rocks. When I went to Bible college, the employers in the area, all over the Chicago area, came to the college to hire people because they knew the Christians would work. Honestly, they came to the college. Yes, sir. You go to Brother Fugit's college, there are employers all over the Lexington area begging for their students to go work because they work. My daughter got a raise at work a week or two ago. She has another lady that works in the same department she works in. This lady is older than my wife. And my daughter does about 5 times the work this lady does. My daughter last night had all she could take. She was supposed to be moving stuff from one department to the other, and she was taking it out of a cart, one box at a time, walking across the store. My daughter heaped up the cart and said, "Here, push this over there." And she just stood there and looked at my daughter. Like, who are you to do this? She's, "Daddy, I couldn't take it anymore." Talk about lazy. I thought, thank God a 20-year-old girl's got more character than a 52-year-old woman. But how sad. I don't know how the women and people in this office building get anything done, because every 15 minutes they're out there sucking a cancer stick. They got to put a 10-hour day to get 8 hours in because they put 2 hours in sucking down cancer sticks out there. I'm not kidding. Once an hour, they're out there for 10 minutes sucking on a cigarette. It's disgusting. I was kind of thankful for cold weather. Amazing how fast they can get through one of them things. Read your Bible. Be at church every chance you get. Be around biblical counsel. Be around biblical thinking all the time. Don't allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to influence your mind as much as we do. I'll hurry. I'll end with this. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. How do we control our minds the right way? I'll give you a verse. You ought to memorize it and use it as an outline of your thinking. Are you ready? Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Yeah. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to look at everybody in the God-given eyeballs that God gave you. I love you. But may I say this? We live in a world that is totally contrary to this. We live in a world of what we call critical thinking. We want to see the negative of everything. You bring something home, and your wife brings something home, and you say, well, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. Ladies, you're not always going to understand him. Matter of fact, you probably may never understand him. But we fuss and feud over the stupidest things and we want to see the negative of it. How about let's see the good in it? We live in a world that's training everybody to think negative. Let me show you what I mean. I'll give you a couple for instances. God knows I don't have a racist bone. I don't have a racist cell in my body. Not one. But not every black person came from slaves.
That's right.
That lives in America. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. The Civil War didn't start about slavery.
No, it did.
Had nothing to do with it. Nada. 0.2% of the people in the United States of America own slaves. You don't start a war over 0.2%. By the way, that's the same percentage of the DACA people in America right now. 0.2%. That the Democrats, Mr. Schumer, and I'm not sure if it's a Mr. or a Miss or Ms. or whatever, Pelosi, have stopped the budget for the United States of America over 800,000 people. And that is not even part of the economy, and we're dealing with an economy issue. And yet, nothing but the news says it's all Mr. Trump's fault. It's all the Republicans' fault. They own the House. They own the Senate. They own the White House. They ought to be able to do this. Well, you have to have 60 votes. They don't have a 60% majority in the Senate. So it's impossible. We're not even smart enough to know our own government. That's one area. Everybody doing okay? All right, now hang in there. The news has trained us to be so critical. Since the 1950s in the Korean War, and honestly even before then, during World War II, when Patton slapped a soldier in Belgium, took his gloves off, and a kid was shell-shocked, and he was physically fine, he was mentally rattled, took his gloves off, whapped him in the face twice and said, son, there's nothing wrong with you. Best thing you could do is get back out there and start fighting. He did not slap him with his hand. He used his gloves. By the way, do you know what the best treatment for shell shock is? To go back out and hear the gunshots. You get knocked off a horse, the best thing to do is get back on it. You don't want to, but you do it. First time I shot a 12-gauge. I was about 8, 9 years old. I weighed about 75 pounds with my pockets full of gun shells. My grandpa gave me an old Springfield 12-gauge with a wood stock on that thing and no butt plate, let me tell you. He said, here, son, shoot this. Woo. Yes, sir. Wow! He picked me up off the ground. And from that day on, he called me shotgun. I was with some guys one day. We were shooting some, I was probably 15. We were shooting some big guns. We got down to 10 gauge, 8 gauge. Somebody had a double barrel 8 gauge. Now, did you ever see the Elmer Fudd gun? It's kind of what it looked like, except they had two of them on there, all right? It was just monster. And they had this goofy thing hung on the end of that thing. I couldn't figure out what it was for. And these guys said, oh, yeah, just put it up on your shoulder. I pulled that thing up. It's for goose hunting. I pulled it up and kapow! I didn't go down, but I didn't pull the second trigger. And they're all over there going, ha, 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 ha. I said, what's so funny? They said, that thing on the end of that, you're supposed to put it where the oars go in the boat and mount that thing and shoot it, not put it up against your shoulder. You idiots. But I shot it once, never again. We're trained to be so critical in our thinking. Our news is caused... By the way, that wasn't the last time I ever shot a shotgun. It was the last time I shot an 8-gauge. Not doing that again. You can fool me once, but I learn real fast. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Whatsoever things are true. That means we shouldn't listen to gossip.
Amen.
We shouldn't listen to things that aren't true. Can I tell you something? Most of the news stories are reported long before we know what the truth is. Well, we have a right to know what's going on right now. No, you don't. You got to wait till you find out what's really going on.
Amen.
How many people go to jail before we even know what the facts are? Whatsoever things are honest. We ought to think about truth and we ought to think about honesty. Whatsoever things are just, that's justice. Balancing things out. Do you know some things just don't need said because it's not just? Ladies, to bring up the fact that he did something to you 17 years ago isn't going to change anything. And fellas, for you to say, well, 27 years ago, you did this. It amazes me how we hold things unjustly over people's heads. And we think because one thing happened one time that everything's that way all the time is unjust. Let me give you an illustration. The old city hospital. I wouldn't have taken my puppy dog there 15 years ago. But 2 weeks ago, that's the first place I went when I had a kidney stone and didn't feel a lick of trouble about it. Say why? I'm in every hospital in this area from D.C. to Baltimore, Frederick, Hagerstown, Winchester, all over the area. University Hospital is as state-of-the-art as any of them in the area. Well, I went there 15 years ago and they'd missed... Okay, that was 15 years ago. It's not what it was 15 years ago. But yet, because somebody stuck your gizzard the wrong way 15 years ago there, it's a bad place. If it was a bad place, I wouldn't be going there. Trust me. If anybody knows hospitals, I do. Mm-hmm. I can tell you which ones I won't go to, but I'm not going to say it on the microphone. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. We ought to talk about purity, not filth. Let's clean up what we talk about. Whatsoever things are lovely. Did you know negativity is not lovely? Do you know that evil is not lovely? Do you know that murder is not lovely? Do you know that rape is not lovely? Do you know that the usual topics that go on, drinking and being drunk and everything else, that's not lovely? Look at the text to the words of the music that you listen to. How lovely is it? How true, honest, just, pure. It says of good report, not negative report. Let's give good reports, not bad reports. I keep up with about 20, 25 pastors and assistant pastors around the country regularly. I had a man this morning who's really going through it. You know who I'm talking about even. I wouldn't even give his name. And he said, preacher, you don't know how many men of God and churches your positive messages are helping and influencing around our country right now. Amen. And I texted him back and I said, I'm humbled that I get to do anything except die and go to hell. If it encourages one person, bless God.
Amen.
Texted Brother Fugit this morning after church and said, bless God, we had 7 visitors and 2 saved. He said, that'll twist the old devil's whiskers. I thought, well, that wasn't the part I was aiming at, but it'll work. Calls it what you want, but I was twisting. You want to know how to think? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We think way too negatively. You see the one misplaced dot. I see all the right ones on there. We're trained to look at the one that's not supposed to be there. Some of you, that's going to bother you till I clean it up. Because that's all you're going to look at. Because can I tell you why you're trained to look at the negative? You see everything that's wrong about it. 99.999% of that is right. And you see that 0.0001%. And focus on it. Because you've trained your mind to think negatively about everything first. That's how we live our lives. God said that's not how you're supposed to think. A world with no boundaries. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to put some boundaries inside there? I just gave you what the boundaries were. North, south, east, and west. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. It'll teach you how to live with a mind that has some boundaries to it so that you don't live in a world of no boundaries. Every head bowed, every eye closed.